The practice of the fivefold ministry. The equipping of the saints, that is the title of today's message. I'm doing something a little different. This particular message is more of a teaching message than a fire and brimstone that you guys have come to know me for. So what is the fivefold ministry? That word, fivefold ministry, that phrase, has been hijacked by some, and we'll get to that in just a bit. Before we get started, I want to share a little story. This is relevant. In November of 1987, Dmitry Davidoff, a college student at Moscow State University, who had been mentoring some high school students, had decided he was going to conduct a social experiment with these high school students that he mentored. So one cold November day, he goes to show up to the meeting. He tells them, we're going to play a game. And there's 10 of them. He says, all right. 8 of you are going to be villagers, and 2 of you are going to be werewolves. But only the werewolves and I are going to know who the werewolves are. And the villagers, your job is to try to figure out who these werewolves, who they are, and try to vote them out. So they had this process where they'd sit around in a circle. And secretly, Dmitry, he identified who the 2 werewolves were. Again, they're the only ones who know. The villagers don't know. Everybody would mingle for a bit and talk for a bit. And then the villagers had to decide who they thought was the werewolf and vote them out. And when voted out, they have to say whether they were a werewolf or a villager. Afterwards, they'd mingle a bit. And the 2 werewolves would signal secretly to Dmitry which one of the villagers they were going to eat, metaphorically. They didn't really eat nobody. Metaphorically now. And then Dmitry would let them know who got ate. And this would play out. And nearly every single time, the werewolves won the game. They would end up gobbling up all the villagers, metaphorically. And the villagers, while they might be able to get one of the werewolves, he wouldn't be able to get all of them. Now, this wasn't just a game. This was a social experiment. Remember, I said this is a social experiment. And what it proves is this. An uninformed majority will always lose to an informed minority. Now, how is this relevant? I said, Pastor Chris, you're talking crazy. Pastor Chris, I think maybe you done lost your mind. No, pay attention. You see, the practice of the fivefold ministry, when you don't know what the Bible says and you don't know what the Bible teaches, you don't know the doctrine behind it, an informed minority with malicious intent can enter in through the doors of your church and lead you astray. Who here believes that there are wolves in sheep's clothing in our churches today? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
As an elder of this church, As one of your pastors, it is my job to prepare you, to teach you, to guide you. I will go in much more in depth on the duties of a pastor in just a bit. We turn now to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I want you to note this here. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. The captives are captives no longer, amen. You are set free, amen.
Amen.
There is liberty in Christ. And in that liberty, you see, Christ doesn't just set you free, but he equips you. He empowers you. He gives you authority over the enemy. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. There is nothing more powerful than God. And there is nothing that God can't handle. There is nothing that is out of God's control. Just remember that whenever your life feels like it's spiraling into chaos. Hallelujah. You are not alone. We can go to the next slide. Here we go. And he himself gave some to be apostles. I'm going to stop right here. What is an apostle? There are wolves in sheep's clothing in churches today that are misusing apostle. Now, there are some that would say that this, what we're going over today, that all of this was for the first century church, it doesn't apply today. I'm going to show you today that that is not the truth. It applies to the church till Jesus comes.
Amen.
But what is an apostle? So there are some who take it upon themselves, the title of apostle, that they do not legitimately have for the sake of authority. There are three things that must be for someone to be an apostle. They must have witnessed the risen Lord. They must have miracles, signs, and wonders as evidence of their apostleship and be sent out by Christ himself to establish churches. Some would say, well, that is only for those who witnessed the risen Lord before his ascension. But yet we read in Scripture that the apostle Paul, yes, Paul is an apostle. Though his experience with the risen Christ was long after his ascension unto heaven on the road to Damascus. So it can't simply be one who witnessed the risen Lord before his ascension. Now, Paul would say that he was the least of the apostles for two reasons. For one, his interaction with the risen Christ did in fact happen after his ascension, but also, and most importantly, because Paul, prior to being the apostle Paul, was Saul of Tarsus, Saul the persecutor. He held the coats of the men that murdered Stephen, the first martyr. Paul being the apostle to the Gentiles. There are some that would take apostle to the extreme to grant themselves authority equal to and at times greater than the authority of Scripture. Bill Johnson of Bethel is one of the leaders of the New Apostolic Reformation, claims to be an apostle. And he states that if he gives a revelation that contradicts Scripture, then it's a new revelation to be followed. He cannot be condemned any greater in this very moment by me. The only authority greater than Scripture is God Himself.
Amen.
Now, I'm not denying apostles are for this age. I'm saying that there are men who falsely claim that mantle, and they wield it to empower themselves and to give themselves authority over others. There are a few things that I despise more. Is someone who professes to be a man of God simply so they can lord authority over others. Me being a soldier, me being an infantryman, me being an NCO, a leader of men, I understand that what comes first is the responsibility. And the authority only comes so that you can fulfill that responsibility. Someone who is in a position of authority isn't there just so they can tell people what to do. But that seems to be the mentality of people like Bill Johnson and others. So then, when we meet a real apostle, how will we know? Well, they will claim that they have had a visitation by the risen Christ. They will see Christ as you see me now, in bodily form. They will have manifest in their life, in their ministry, signs and wonders and miracles. They will be planting churches. They will not have rotten fruit. They will have good fruit. They will be holy. They will be a man to follow. And they will be, this will all be confirmed by the elders of the church. I must be honest with you now that I've yet to meet a modern apostle or one who claims to be an apostle today that is a legitimate apostle. It is most likely that the apostles that would be here on earth today are likely not going to be here in the United States, in my personal opinion. Take that with a grain of salt. If there is an apostle walking the earth today, he's likely in Africa or India or Iran. Oh, you didn't hear about Iran, did you? There's a revival going on in Iran right now, amen?
Amen.
Despite the persecution of the enemy, the Christian church in Iran is growing, is thriving, is crying out to God. Amen, hallelujah. Amen. And some prophets. What is a prophet? Now let's not confuse the gift of prophecy for the office of prophecy. The office of the prophet. Of the gifts of the Spirit, one of them is prophecy. If Sister Ann had a prophecy for us, that doesn't mean she's in the office of prophet. She has a prophecy for us. A prophet will be called by God to be the mouthpiece of God in an official capacity for the church. Every prophecy given will be consistent with Scripture, with all past prophecies, and will have 100% fulfillment rate. If anyone who claims to be a prophet delivers a prophecy that then fails to come to pass, we are mandated by Scripture to do what? To reject them. To cast them out. Because just as there are legitimate prophets of God, there have since the beginning, since the Old Testament, there has been what? False prophets. And we are to have discernment. But the key, I already gave you the key. How do we figure it out? It will be consistent with Scripture. Know your Scripture, amen? Read your Bible. Study your Bible. It'll be consistent with Scripture. It'll be consistent with all past prophecies. That's how we know. And some evangelists. Now here is a little bit of a crossover with evangelists. My calling is as an evangelist. And by evangelist, I don't mean Jimmy Swaggart or Kenneth Copeland. Biblically, what an evangelist does is he travels, leads souls to Christ, and establishes churches. He doesn't just pick up steak and go to the next town the next weekend or the next night or 2 weeks later. No, he stays there, builds and establishes a church, and moves on once it's on its own. That's what a biblical evangelist does. In that sense, our modern day missionaries are what? Evangelists. Biblically speaking, our modern day missionaries are evangelists. It's important that we recognize these different offices of the church. And these are just the five main offices. There are other offices, such as deacon. These are the main pastoral positions. At the top, we have the apostle, and then the prophet, then the evangelist. And next, we have these two, which is your pastors and your teachers. Now, while pastor and teacher is put together, it is, in fact, two different positions. Now, they would both fill the role of an elder in one individual church. You see how we went from large down to small. The apostle and the prophet has authority over many churches, many congregations. The evangelist establishes many congregations, but the pastor and the teacher are the elders of a single congregation. Pastor comes from the root for pastoral, and it means, another word for it is shepherd. What does a shepherd do but guide, protect? He feeds his flock. He's there for his flock, what, 23-6, 22-5, 9-5, 7-noon, 24-7. The job of an elder of any church, there's no time to clock out. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. As an elder, as a pastor in this church, I have to be available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just on Sunday when I'm preaching behind the pulpit, or in this case, in front of the pulpit. So a pastor is a shepherd. They're there to, yes, to preach the word, but also to be there to feed you, to guide you, to clothe you, to protect you, just as the good shepherd would. and then a teacher. Now, while he fills many of those same pastoral roles, that a teacher's approach to Scripture is different. See, where a pastor might get a little excited when he preaches, he might, that pastor might dance a little jig. A teacher is going to dig deep into the meaning of the word. And look, we need both, amen? Amen? We need sermons that stir the soul. Sermons that the Holy Spirit can use to lay a conviction upon the hearts of unbelievers and draw the hearts of believers closer unto God. But we also need teachers who can break down Scripture. One of the best public examples I can think of is Mike Winger. Pastor Mike Winger. He's an associate pastor, I believe, at a church in California. He's got this website, Think Biblically, I believe it's called. If you can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Facebook. He's even got, I think, his own phone app that you can download. You watch his sermons or any of his videos, he teaches. He doesn't preach in the traditional sense, but he'll break it down verse by verse. He'll go into the Greek. He'll go into the Hebrew. Oh, and one thing I especially love about Pastor Mike Winger is how he will bring into his messages historical and cultural context. You come out of one of his lessons and you learn something. You've learned something. And we need that. We need teachers with the youth. Amen.
Amen.
We need teachers behind the pulpit for the main congregation.
Amen.
We need preachers and teachers. We need evangelists to spread the word of God, to lead souls to Christ and establish churches. We need prophets. Prophets that will deliver unto us God's word. His unbridled prophetic word. And we need apostles. We need apostles. We need to pray for an apostle. But we also must ensure that the proclaimed prophets and apostles and evangelists, preachers and teachers, are truly called by God. How do we know this? We'll judge them by their fruits. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A corrupt tree will not produce good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
We'll know them by their fruits. We got to be careful. Right now, there are so many false teachers, false preachers, false doctrines that are out there. We got to be careful. The closer we get to the tribulation, the more the enemy tries to squash us with his feet, the greater the gifts of the Spirit will be poured out upon the church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The more our young men will prophesy and dream dreams. There's a great revival coming right here. Right here. Here to Charlestown, Indiana. I feel it. I know it like I know my name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I said I know it like I know my name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, but here's the purpose. You see, the New Apostolic Reformation would essentially frame these offices and the gifts of the Spirit to try to make Christians out to be some kind of a group of Avengers, superheroes. That's not how it is. See, if I lay hands on somebody and they get healed, I didn't heal them. God did. If I preach a sermon and you come to Christ, I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did it. If Sister Ann gives us a word of prophecy, she didn't do it. She was the instrument of God.
Amen.
But the NAR would have you go out laying on graves and soaking up anointing off of long gone pastors. Yeah. The New Apostolic Reformation, I am going to say it right now, it is a damnable heresy. Damnable. What I'm teaching you today is biblical truth. So what does Scripture say? Because Scripture is the weight that everything is measured to. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And what have I said about reading your Bible? Studying your Bible. Read it. Love it. Learn it. Have it imprinted upon your heart. Why? Because if you don't know God's word, you're going to be what? Tossed to and fro. By the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints. Until what? Until Christ returns. Until we have unity in the faith. I don't know if you've done been counting, but there are 40,000 denominations. Many of them we can count amongst us as our brothers and sisters in Christ. The variations there are very slight. But there are others whose doctrines are so heretical, we must condemn them. Well, how do we know? They must affirm. This is the bare minimum. The bare minimum here. The doctrine of original sin. The pre-existence and eternality of Christ, his co-equal of one essence with God, the Father. The substitutionary atonement of Christ and the exclusivity of Christ. And lastly, the solas, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. According to the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. Those five solas. If there is a church that denies all that doctrine, they may claim the title of Christian, they are not. If they deny the divinity of Christ, they're not a Christian. It's not I that gatekeeps, but Scripture. Paul warns those who would teach or preach another gospel that they will be condemned. There is only one way in which we may be saved. That is under the name of Christ. By the grace of God alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. There's no special handshake or dance you got to do. But I'm going to tell you this, the time is going to come when the tribulation hits that these false churches with these false doctrines that are playing at being church are going to fall away. Only the faithful will remain. Christ's true church will remain. Amen? So I stress it again. For the 112 times here, 113rd time maybe, read and study your Bible. Let me ask you this. Could you survive on one meal a week? Could you? Of course not. When you read and study your Bible, that is food for your soul. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So why are there believers out there doing what? Surviving on one meal for their soul per week. It's not enough just to come on church on Sunday and hear old Pastor Chris preach a sermon. Praise God, I'm glad you're here, but that ain't enough. I want you to study your Bible on a Monday and on a Tuesday and on a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. Every time, every opportunity you got, read and study that Bible. It's going to equip you for what is to come. If you find yourself lacking wisdom, read the book of Proverbs. I'm kind of getting going off the rails a little bit, but this is a message that needs to be told. You got to read your Bible. If you read and study God's word, you're not going to be carried away by these false doctrines. You're going to be able to spot these false teachers and false preachers that come in and try to lead the congregation astray. Look, there's some hard times coming. We need to strengthen our faith, to grow in our faith. And reading and studying God's word is just one part of that. The next is what? Prayer. I look back here, I see Brother Josh and Sister Nicole. They've been married for many, many years. I bet if they didn't talk, they didn't communicate, they'd start having some serious problems now, wouldn't they? You gotta talk. You can't have a relationship if you don't talk. When you pray, you're talking to Jesus. You're talking to Jesus. And prayer comes down twofold. You pray, God listens. God speaks, you listen. Prayer, it's a communication. It's integral to having a relationship with God. Reading God's word, prayer. Oh, now when you're facing something that you just are struggling too much with, oh, now Scripture gives us a tool, a mighty tool that goes with prayer. That's fasting. Read God's word with prayer and fasting. So just before we close, I had a little frog in my throat there for a minute. Just as we're about to close, I just want to say this. The fivefold ministry has a purpose, and it is to equip the church, to bring us into unity with one another, to bring us into maturity in Christ. And it is for the church today until Christ returns. And let each and every one of us here today seek God in prayer, in His Word, and in fasting. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for the work and the ministry in however that is. You might be called to preach the gospel on the corner. You might be called to preach the gospel behind the pulpit. You might be called to plant churches. You might be called to the office of prophet or apostle. Thank you, Brother Robert. I praise God for the coming hardships, trials, and tribulations. I praise God for it. It is always, always when the church is persecuted, when the church is struggling, that the church then flourishes. And an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is manifest. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. We will now all prepare ourselves to be equipped and to be used to equip others unto the full unity of Christ. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. We praise you now, we praise you always, for you alone are holy and righteous, and you alone are God. Be with each and every one of us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back together again next week. Minister to us each and every day. Guide us, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. Amen.